Hey everyone. May the Lord be with us this evening as we seek his face for a closer walk with him. Amen.
Amen.
May we be encouraged to do that very thing. I was just thinking about the tremendous blessing of reading the Word of God. Being in the Word. Studying the Word. And with that, the tremendous blessing that it is of being a part of a people where everyone is in the Word. Being a part of a church family that is in the Word, everyone, which is how I trust it is here, where everyone studies the Word of God, where everyone takes it literally. Everyone counts it the highest authority that there is of truth. And on top of that, everyone is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I was just thinking, what a foundation for fellowship.
Amen.
Yes, amen. And I know that we may have some different interpretations of some scripture, so we may have some different things to work through to come to a unity of application. But what a blessing to be able to be in the Word and in the Word together. And I was just thinking, what is the main reason that we are in the Word? What's the main reason we read the Bible? And I'm sure there are many reasons, but wouldn't one of the main reasons be that we can become more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Not just to learn more theology or gain more information, but to be yielding ourselves to become more like him, to have the mind of Christ, to be molded into the image of God's dear Son, to be his disciple. I think we'd say that we know that that is God's will. And I would like to make that the foundation for our message this evening. The foundation and the motive. I would like for that to be the stirring and the burning within us. To become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a message that I would like to share this evening. And I would like for the title of the message tonight to be The Circumcision Not Made With Hands. I'd like for this to be a Bible study. And that's what it means to be in the Word, to study the Word of God. I mean, there's a teaching here that we need to understand, to become more like Christ. And as I began to think about this subject, at some point I began to realize I couldn't remember our teaching on this subject, the circumcision not made with hands. And it may be because the circumcision of the Old Testament, the circumcision of the Abrahamic covenant, of the Mosaic law, is completely in Christ. That would be a scriptural teaching. Paul in Colossians makes it very clear that in Christ, there is neither Greek nor Jew. There is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, Jesus Christ is everything and he's in all. He's in all of these. He's in the Greek. He's in the Jew. He's in the circumcision. He's in the uncircumcision. He's in the barbarian, the Scythian, the bond and free. Jesus Christ is everything. He's in all of these. And Paul in Galatians even strengthens it again. And he says that in Christ, circumcision will avail you nothing. And he says, nor uncircumcision. Either way, it's not going to help. But, he says, a new creature. That will help. That is the burden of a circumcision not made with hands. And that's the teaching of Scripture, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. When things are passed away, behold, all things become new. My brothers and sisters, I declare a burden on my heart that the kingdom of God would get a hold of this, that new creature. And circumcised with the circumcision not made with hands. And that is not the circumcision of the law. It was made with hands. That one is done away in Christ. So there's two different circumcisions. And I'm going to say tonight that to understand either one of them, I believe we need to understand both of them. So I'm going to be speaking this evening, and I want this message to be very clear so that we can all understand it. When I refer to the circumcision of the Old Testament that is done away in Christ, the Abrahamic covenant, I'm going to call it the circumcision of the law. So you know exactly what I mean. When I refer to the circumcision not made with hands, I'd like to call it what Colossians chapter 2 calls it. This is New Testament doctrine. And I would think it would challenge you this evening. Do you know what Colossians chapter 2 calls the circumcision not made with hands? Colossians chapter 2 calls the circumcision not made with hands, the what? The circumcision of, does anyone know? The heart. That's close. But that's not right. But it is the heart. The New Testament, that's the right answer. The New Testament does refer to the circumcision as the circumcision of the heart and the circumcision of the mind. But Colossians chapter 2 calls it the circumcision of Christ. It gives us some insight to what we're talking about here. So in Christ, the circumcision of the law is done away. But the circumcision of Christ is established. For every believer, and the circumcision of Christ is not the physical circumcision that Christ had in his physical body when he was here in the flesh. It is the work of Christ that he wants to do to you in your heart and in your mind, to every believer in the kingdom of God, both male and female. The circumcision of Christ, it's for male and female. It is for every honor of Christ. Let me say again, this is kind of going to be this evening a Bible study. We want to be in the Word. And I want to say again, it's very important that we understand this, because this is New Testament doctrine. This is the circumcision of Christ. It is called the operation of God. So I would like to begin this evening by defining circumcision. And it's interesting to me, as different as the circumcision of the law that's done away is from the circumcision of Christ, as different as they are, they both have the same definition. Isn't that interesting? They are both circumcision. That's what the scripture calls them both. And I'm going to define them this way. Circumcision is the touching away of the flesh. That's what it is. That's what they both are. One of them is physical, and one of them is spiritual. But they are both circumcision. And as we go through this little study, I would like to challenge you with this question. Have you yielded yourself to this work of Christ upon your heart? The cutting away of the flesh from your mind and from your heart. Here's the question. Will you let Christ circumcise you with the circumcision not made with hands? I want to remind us again that the burden of this message is that we would be more like Christ. That's the burden. And there is no sinful flesh in Christ. And if we're going to be like Christ, our sinful flesh must be cut away. That makes sense, I hope, to us. To be like Christ, there's no sinful flesh in Christ. It needs to be cut away. This is New Testament doctrine, and this is New Testament provision. Many times, we get so focused in on being born again that we forget about all of the provision that God has made. Let me tell you what three of them are. He has made it so that we can be born again. Fitting in being Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. That's awesome. That's something that the world cannot comprehend. All things become new. And anybody can be born again. Anytime, any place, anywhere, under any circumstances, no change is needed. If you come tonight, is the thing of faith. And you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's incredible. It's something the world cannot comprehend. But the next thing that God has made provision for his people is that he has made provision to crucify the flesh. Sometimes we forget about that. We overlook that. We make allowance for that. But we can be baptized into Christ, into his death. The body of sin might be destroyed, that we might not serve sin. This is the provision of God. That's two things that he did. And the third thing that he did is that he, and this is not a message tonight, but he filled us with the Holy Spirit of God to be with us right there in every situation, in every temptation. We are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The devil can tempt us sometimes when the Holy Spirit's not there. It's called the promise of the Father. That's what Jesus called it. And when the Father promises you that you will be filled with the Spirit of God, that's making provision for his people. I said this wasn't our main message, but this is a lunatic meditation. We want to focus in on the provision that God has made to destroy the body of sin. The old man that is crucified, Christ. It's as scriptural as you can get. And it's the provision of God for his people. Now a little bit more on the definition of circumcision. The word circumference is in the word circumcision. And it, circumference means all the way around. Any direction. Full circle. Any area. Also, the word incision is in the word circumcision. It means to cut. To cut away, to cut out, to get rid of by cutting. And if you look at that word circumcise up in the Greek, Strong's will tell you that it simply means to cut all the way around, to cut full circle in every direction, to cut away, to get rid of by cutting. That's what Strong's will tell you. And whenever you cut on the human body, so you're good. You know what it's called? It's called surgery. That's what it's called when you cut on the human body for your good. So the circumcision of the law was surgery. And it was physical surgery. And it was better than knife. And that is the circumcision that has been done away in Christ. But I believe that we're going to find in this little study that the circumcision of Christ is like spiritual surgery. It is the cutting away of the flesh. Colossians 2 that we referred to actually calls this the operation. This is a provision of God for his people. And we need to put our faith in the operation of God. Spiritual surgery is the work of Christ. It is the cutting away of the flesh. I just want to say again, our burden is to become more like Christ. And there is no sinful flesh in Christ. And he has made provision to put away the sinful flesh out of our life. And as I studied this subject, I was not able to conclude that this operation is something that happens and was completely and automatically done when you were born again. It seems like the flesh is not automatically gone. It is a sanctifying work that Christ wants to do in every heart. It's an ongoing work. I think we could all testify to that. It's a continual work. Michelangelo was a sculptor, and he made a sculpture one time of David. He called it the David. He took cold, hard stone, and he just sculptured the figure of David out of that cold, hard stone, and he made it look so lifelike. The veins are showing out of his arms, and it's such a lifelike figure, and it's nothing but cold, hard stone. And somebody asked Michelangelo, they said, how would you make cold, hard stone so lifelike? How did you make it look so much like David? And Michelangelo said, I just chipped away everything that didn't look like David. And I like that. It is exactly what God does, what God wants to do with us. He wants to chip away everything that doesn't look like Christ so that we can be conformed into the image of his Son. It's beautiful. This is what God wants to do with his people. This is the provision that he has made. And so I ask you again, have you yielded yourself to this work of Christ upon your heart? Even in the present tense, are you yielding yourself tonight to the work of Christ in your life? Now, I believe that it would be very scriptural to say that God's will for us is more than salvation. I hope we're together on that. It's not God's will that any should perish. But I believe that he wants more than that. I believe it's God's will that we would be molded into the image of his dear Son. I think it's his will that we would have the mind of Christ. I think it's his will that we would be a witness for his kingdom. Not just raise our hand and claim salvation, but as we spoke in the first evening meeting, to bring the head pressing in our heart. And to do that, the flesh needs to be cut away. We don't want to overlook this part of the operation of God. Now, when the Bible speaks about the flesh, I want us to understand that it's talking about two different things. First, the flesh is just simply referring to us being here on the earth in this physical body. And that's not bad. That's not evil. That's God's will. When we confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, it just means that He came to earth in physical body. And that's not bad. That's good. When Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, he just was simply talking about the life that he now lives in this physical body. That's not bad. That's good. That's God's will. But flesh also refers to the sinful and the carnal nature of man. It was referring to the lust of the flesh and to the works of the flesh. And that is bad. That is what's got to go. That's what God wants to cut away. Because your flesh is always in conflict with the Holy Spirit of God that is in you and desires to lead you. So there's a battle going on here. We'd like to make sure we're all together on this. Maybe we should say that together. I'll tell you what the thing will say together. Let's say, your flesh is always in conflict with the Holy Spirit of God. Let's say it together. My flesh is always in conflict with the Holy Spirit of God. And how can the Holy Spirit lead us if that flesh is not cut free? But I want you to know that that sentence that we just said together, we were quoting scripture. Did you know that? I would like to read it in scripture for us. You may turn. I would encourage you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. And we'll read this together. Chapter 5, verse 17 in Galatians. It says this, and this is what we said together. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, when we're led by the Holy Spirit of God, we can't do the works of the flesh. They don't go together. They are in conflict in what we read here. I trust that we are together on this. And I believe that this verse is everyone's testimony here. Wouldn't we all testify that inside of us, many times there's a battle. I heard a poem one time, if I can quote it, comes to me now. Two spirits beat within my breast. The one is vile, the other blessed. The one I love, the other hate. And the one I feed, wants to hate. And so we need to crucify the flesh and unity to the Holy Spirit of God to become like Christ. That's the message. That's the burden that we have this evening. But I believe that's a burden on God's heart, because I think this is part of the provision of God that we so often don't understand and therefore overlook it. The circumcision of Christ is the cutting away of the flesh. We want to live faithful. We read chapter 5, verse 17, and verse 16 simply says this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what we're after. That's the life that we are after. We do not want to follow our flesh, our sinful flesh, our carnal flesh. It's in conflict with the Holy Spirit of God. And brothers and sisters and youth here this evening, let's be honest. There are things that your flesh likes to do. That's just the way it is. There are places your flesh wants to go. There are passions that your flesh wants to fill. There is pornography that your flesh wants to look at. There is masturbation that your flesh wants to do. There are websites that your flesh wants to browse. There is entertainment that your flesh wants to watch. There is music that your flesh wants to listen to. And the Spirit of God would not lead you there. There are clothes that your flesh likes to wear. And you can say, oh, clothing, let's don't go there. That sounds legalistic. But I'm just going to tell you, we need to face up to the facts. There are clothes that your flesh likes to wear. There is music that your flesh likes to listen to. That's not realistic. It's just dealing with reality. And the circumcision of Christ will deal with every one of those things. If those things are included in verse 17, we are instructed in Romans 13 this way. Make no provision for the flesh. How much is no provision? None. When the flesh is crucified, that's the only way to make no provision for the flesh. That's the commandment of Scripture. And when we defend any of those things, our wrong music, our borderline modesty clothing, our borderline videos that we watch, when we justify these things, or when we defend them, we are protecting the very thing that the Holy Spirit of God is trying to put away from our heart. I heard a brother preach a message once on self-denial. And he said, many people respond to denying self this way. They'll say, oh, yes, amen. Denying self. Well, I've got that one down, Pat. And he said, oh, no, you don't. You need to hear it again. You're serving the flesh in too many areas. And you need to come to grips with that thing. We don't just automatically have that thing under control because we have a testimony of being born again. You need to hear it again. So much justification in the kingdom of God of the things and the praise and the moving and the things. And it's in grievance unto the Holy Spirit. We commanded to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And provision has been made to deal with the flesh. It's the circumcision of Christ. Have you let Christ circumcise you? When we are protecting the flesh or covering up for the flesh or defending the flesh or justifying the flesh, we are making provision for the flesh. And you will never be molded into the image of God's dear Son. There are desires that your flesh wants to experience. And why am I saying yours? I'll say ours. We all understand this battle. There are attitudes that our flesh wants to have. There is pride that our flesh wants to feed. There is attention that our flesh wants to get. And the circumcision of Christ reveal in every one of these things. And I want to encourage us here. Listen to me carefully. We are not headed here for just some legalistic means of rules and regulations to control the flesh. Did you hear me? we are headed for a scriptural formula to deal with these things. It is not rules and regulations. And brothers and sisters, as much as I believe in restrictions and obedience and carefulness and discipline and authority, I believe these are scriptural things that are ordained and valid. And I believe that they do have their place. But our desire this evening is to be scriptural right here in dealing with the flesh. And I'm going to tell you the scriptures deal with it. They really deal with it. They are way harder on the flesh than any rules or regulations could ever be. The scripture is way harder. I have looked. I have searched. I have studied. And the only verdict that I can find in scriptures for the flesh is crucifixion. And crucifixion is not a rule. It's a verdict. It's a death sentence. It's not a rule or regulation. And that's how Christ wants to deal with our flesh. That is the circumcision of Christ. That is the cutting away of the flesh. It is death to the old man. That's Romans 6. Old man is crucified with him. What does that mean? Many times we just shake our head and don't understand that because I'm still dealing with the flesh, and so we don't understand it, so we just kind of pass over it and go on. And instead of passing over and going on, I believe we need to get on our face before a holy God and cry out, oh God, what's wrong with me? It's the blood in our head. It's the blood in the heart for his people. We will just see God. If we don't understand it, then it's confusing. We need more teaching heart. We need more discipleship. We need more drunkenness to come before God and give the liberty to do whatever he needs to do. To bring it to reality in our life. Amen? See, this be more like Christ. Let's be realistic here. It's a desire. It's the permission of God to become one into the image of his dear son. He can be crucified with Christ, with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That we might not serve sin. Colossians says, mortify. Therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, brothers and sisters, that's New Testament doctrine. It's got to mean something. How about just what it says? We need to learn how to make this become reality. And right here in Galatians 5, we have it right here. Let's look at it in verse 24. Let's just fix our gaze on verse 24 here for just a moment. It says, they that are Christ's, and that's us. Praise God, that's us. They that are Christ's are crucified. The flesh, with the affections and lust. And you cried out to God, God, where's you? Experience the reality. Isn't that what it means to be free in Christ? And the scriptures teach us, Jesus himself taught us, that when the Son hath made you free, then are you free to be with him. He has made the provision for us to become free from this flesh. Oh God, make this reality. I want to be very careful here because I know this can be a confusing subject. But if it's confusing and we haven't experienced it yet, but we don't know how to get there. I believe there needs to be a crying out into God. I think that's God's heart. The scripture says in one place that in him or Herod, all the treasures are wisdom and knowledge. Dead. We are dead lands, which can't find them. But this is the way God hides things. When you knock, he answers. When you seek, the promise is you will find. When you ask, you're going to receive. When you knock, it shall be opened unto you. And so, him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in their hand. Let's seek. Let's knock. Let's not knock passively. God will open the door. We need more understanding, I believe, in this area. I'm going to say that this subject is as scriptural as you can get. Crucify. And you can study the word crucified all you want to. And you can look it up in the Greek all you want to. Then you can retranslate it however you want to. But it only means one thing. It means to put to death. To completely get rid of. I want to tell you, when the flesh is dead, this is spiritual growth. When the flesh is dead, or even dying, or captive, or bound, this is freedom. This is growth in the Lord. And we spoke last night about the need for encouragement and the need for building relationships. And sometimes they're hard to build. They take a real level of humility to get there. But if your flesh, if you're trying to build a relationship and your flesh is dead, would that help? Just think about it. If you're struggling with a relationship and you're dealing with hard situations and your flesh is dead, doesn't that open the door to work it out? It's beautiful. This is what would happen to God's people if we didn't understand the faith and the operation of God and let Christ circumcise us with a circumcision not made with hands. It improves our marriages, it improves our homes, it improves our relationships with our children, it improves our churches, it improves our witness. Known for our compassion and for our understanding, instead of being known for our divisions, and that we just can't get along, and this church here divided, and this church over here divided, and it divided again, and this church quit. We don't want that kind of reputation. We want victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, all right. Yes, we do. We wanted it harmony. So they that are Christ's crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something this evening. There is no hypocrisy in crucifixion. When you try to control the flesh with rules and regulations, and the flesh is not dead, it's just restrained, I'm just going to tell you, there may be hypocrisy. Are you with me? Does that make sense? It does. If the flesh isn't dead, if he's just restrained, there's going to be some secrets. There's going to be some hidden. There's going to be some hypocrisy. Because the flesh loves to be spiritual. The flesh likes to talk spiritual. The flesh likes to cover up its secrets. But it's not dead. And when the flesh is not dead, there will be hypocrisy. There will be secrets. And I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again tonight. Listen carefully. You will never be more spiritual than your secrets. Try as you will. Try out as you will. You will never be more spiritual than your secrets. If you have secrets, that's a guarantee that your flesh is not dead. And Christ wants to deal with your flesh. So I'm going to ask us again. Have you yielded yourself? Are you yielding yourself to this tremendous work, this work of Christ upon your life? We've got some more information to cover here in this little study, and we've got time, so we'll just keep going here. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2, where we get the very phrase of the circumcision of Christ. Colossians chapter 2. We said earlier that God's will for us is more than to be born again. It's more than just claim salvation and then continue on, you know, with our life. And that was the cry of Paul in Romans 6. What? Shall we continue in sin? And he's saying that to the people of God, to believers. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, so don't worry about it. Is that the heart of God? It's not. Do you remember what it says before we have an advocate? It says, brethren, write these things that ye sin not. That is God's will. You can see if we sin, praise God. We have an advocate. But God's will is that we would be set free from that sin. In chapter 2, verse 6, there's a real indication here that God wants more than just salvation for his people. It says here in verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, that's salvation right there. That's it. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord. I mean, let's keep it simple. That's salvation. Then it says, so walk ye in him, accept all of him. It's beautiful, I believe. Now we want to move down to verse 11. It says here, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. And I want you to notice here that this is for everyone. This isn't for the pastoral team. This isn't for the music choir. This is for everyone. In whom also, but you, I'm going to say, are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. And he describes it here some. In putting off the body of sins, of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. This is the work of God's Son upon his people to destroy the body of sins, the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. And the living the family. That's the moment we hold our heart that we would understand this thing. This is New Testament doctrine. This is as scriptural as you can get. So may God give us understanding. And verse 11 does not end with a period. So let's keep reading. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. It is so important that we understand this is a provision of God to crucify the flesh, to cut away the flesh and get rid of it. Buried with him in baptism, death of the old man, crucifixion of the flesh, but also risen with him from the dead. And he calls it the operation of God. And I want to say something about that word operation here. I love words. I like to look up words and see what they mean. And this is an interesting one. Operation. The Greek word is energia. That's where we get our word energy. And the strong tell you it means high energy. Very powerful thing. That God is investing tremendous energy and power upon us to perform this operation. It's a big thing with God that this happens. This word also shows up in other places in Scripture and is translated different, but it's the same word. In Ephesians, this word operation is translated the effectual working. The effectual working of his mighty power. It's high energy. God said the effectual working of his mighty power, which worketh in me mightily. So I ask myself, I ask all of us, have we yielded ourselves to this effectual working of Christ, of his mighty power, which work is working in me mightily? I want to challenge us tonight. Have you loosed this power on your besetting sin? Have you loosed this power on your sickness? Have you loosed this power on your pride to get rid of the flesh, to crucify the flesh? This is exciting to me. I'm a man. I'm just like you, but I'm just going to confess I've had lots of flesh. I've had a lot to deal with. I cry out before God. I don't know what to do with all of those sins of the past, except confess them and believe in faith that they are covered by the blood. But I don't want to keep doing them. I don't want to tell about them and relax like it's funny. I don't even need a new picture in Christ Jesus. That's the desire of our heart. And God is working, his effectual working, is working with us mightily. The operation of God. That's what that word means. The effectual working. To be more like him. Or to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer. And I'm just going to tell you, it'll never happen until the flesh is out of the way, until the flesh is dealt with. And so you can say, okay, Brother Dale, I hear you. I'm willing. I'm tired of my secrets. I'm tired of hypocrisy. I'm ready. I want this effectual working of his mighty power in me. I just want to say, me, Paul, how do I do it? How is it done? That's what Paul testified. I'm crucified with Christ. He died. Nevertheless, I live. He didn't die physically. He's still alive. But physically, he still lives. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ is on the throne of his life. And so I'm going to give you three suggestions here as we head for closing. Three suggestions of how this can happen. And I think that we need to seek God in this. But I think, first of all, I'm going to say there is no easy crucifixion. Would that make sense? I think we can all make sense out of that. There's no easy crucifixion. There is no easy button that you can push and now your flesh is dead. There is no easy cross to die on. To be crucified with Christ. It just doesn't happen. I don't know how to push a button, and even if I can't believe this, that all of a sudden you just won't be tempted anymore. I don't know what it is. But I believe that there are three things that I can suggest to you that God has established, and these are scriptural things. Some people think they're legalistic, but let's be honest before God. If they're scriptural, they're not legalistic. If they're scriptural, they're of God. And so I'm just going to present these things to you. I think you're a Holy Spirit discerning people, and I'm going to trust God to reveal to your heart what you need to do.
Well, then I don't want to tell you ahead of time. Before I tell you what these three things are, I'm going to tell you that if your flesh is not dead here tonight, if you're sitting here and your flesh is not dead, it's probably going to react.
Obviously, the flesh is not going to like what I'm going to say. They're trying to get rid of the flesh. And the flesh isn't going to say, amen, I'm going to get out of the way. And it never happens. It reacts. It causes reactions in us. And we rise up and we make accusations. That's legalistic. That's not right.
If it's scriptural, it's right. Amen. And so, by God's grace, I'm going to give you three suggestions. I'm going to remind us that you will never rise above scripture. You will never be set free by cutting out scripture.
The cutting away of scripture
is the opposite of the cutting away of the flesh. We need to embrace scripture. Embrace Christ for the cutting away of the flesh.
These three things that I mentioned, 1, 2, and 3.
I just tell you, 1 is the best.
1 is the strongest. 1 is what you want. 2 and 3,
I'm going to say, can be at least help. Sometimes we need help. And God has provided some help for us.
But these helps need to bring us back to 1 so that we can get the job done right. I'm going to give you 1 in the form of a question.
I'm going to say it this way. Have you yielded yourself to the knife? And I want to tell you what I mean by that. What I said was, have you yielded yourself to the knife?
Remember, circumcision is cutting. Are you okay with some cutting? Are you okay with cutting away some things from your life? If you're not, there is no way that Christ will sanctify you, that Christ will circumcise you. You're going to grab onto those things. We have to be okay with some cutting. We have to be okay with crucifixion. Remember, that is the only scriptural verdict to deal with the flesh. And so what I mean by have you yielded yourself to the knife is have you yielded yourself to the Word of God? The Word of God testifies of itself that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is able to pierce. It's cut. Even to the heart. It's a cutting tool. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's the Word of God we're talking about here. The living Word of God is able to do that. We need to believe that. We need to read it that way. And we need to yield ourselves to it that way. We need to make it the engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls. Now, I want to, as I proceed through these three things, and you got the first one now, you have to get into the Word of God. You have to let God speak to you in principle and in specific commandments, and you respond with obedience. That is the circumcision of the flesh. Now I want to tell you something about surgery. And this is something that we can learn from the natural that can teach us about the spiritual. And I want to say this carefully because I'm trying to play the balance here, which I think the scriptures do, of between authority and the Holy Spirit of God doing the work. I want to tell you something about surgery. If you cut too deep in surgery, you can do a lot of damage. You can do an awful lot of damage. It can be fatal. If you cut too deep, you can mess up the vital organs that were okay. Until you cut too deep, you can even take away the very life that was there by cutting too deep. Natural would teach us that about surgery. And I want you to know, I want pastors to know, I want fathers to know, this is true with circumcision as well. If you cut too deep, you can do so much damage. But I want you to understand the other side of the picture too. If you don't cut deep enough, you will not get the job done. It's impossible. The natural can teach us that. You've got to cut deep enough. And you've definitely got to cut, or you'll never get the job done. That's where much of Christianity has gone today. They won't let the word of God cut. They don't look at it. I claim salvation. The word of God will cut if you read it. It testifies in itself that it will cut. And the word of God will not cut too deep. But it will cut deep enough. The word of God has that perfect balance. We can trust God to do that. The word of God, it says, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Reproof, that is cutting. Rebuke, that is cutting. Warning, that is cutting. And the scripture testifies, when the Lord loveth, he rebukes and chastens. He does that to us because he loves us. Without that cutting, you might not even be a son. You might just be a bastard. That's a horrible thought. They want to let the Lord cut. He will not cut too deep. But he will cut deep enough. And he will cut. And the purpose of it all is to make us more like Christ. And to mold us into the image of his dear son. Purposeful obedience to the word of God is the crucifixion of the flesh. Now I want to go on to one of the helps. And I want to say again that the helps are just helps. They're not the formula itself. But it should bring you back to number one, to get into the word of God. Number two, one of the helps, I'm just going to say, is ordained of God. It's scriptural. It's parental authority. This is something that is established by God, is ordained by God, and it's to bring molding into a child's life and in the life of the youth. And when you combine this number two with number one, when it puts you into the word of God, and when you are taught in the word, by loving parents who are in the word, by godly parents, you should let the word of God cut on them. Parents, don't try to cut on your children. The word of God taught on you. Your children are smarter than that. It doesn't work. Husbands, don't try to cut on your wife just because God gave you some authority and enough. Lay it down with trembling. Seek God. Sometimes cutting is necessary. But if you cut too deep, you're going to damage everything. But if you don't cut at all, if you say you love them too much to cut, that's not love. The scriptures testify, whom the Lord loveth, he rebukes and chastens.
It is the commandment of Scripture for children and youth to be obedient to their parents. If you read Romans chapter 1, verses 29 and 30, and I'm not going to turn there because the time is moving on here, but it gives a long list of the wretchedness of man and the works of the flesh are these. And the list is long. And right in the middle of that list of those ugly things of fornication and witchcraft and disobedience and all of those things, it says disobedient to parents. I've heard it called the sewage pipe of the flesh. And disobedience to parents is right in there. This is a tool that God can use to put you back into the Word of God. So many times, children respond to parental correction by running to the road, behind the steering wheel, and we're out of here. Now, I want to guarantee you, children, something. I want to guarantee you, if that is your response, if you're in the car, you're in here, you are making provision for your flesh. You can't drive away and make no provision for the flesh. For that, you must stay and bow your heart in humility. Is it because your Father's perfect? No, it is not because your Father's perfect, but it is because your Heavenly Father is using your Father to work on you. That's just the way it works. I don't want that to sound legalistic. My heart cries because everything is legalistic in the hearts and minds of so many of God's people. But this is scriptural. If it's scriptural, it's not legalistic. The third thing that can be a help, and I'm just going to say it can be a hindrance also, if they cut too deep. That's not a help. Or if they aren't willing to cut it all, that's not a help. But God has ordained this. I'm just going to say it this way. It's the word of a pastor in your life. It can be that. God can use that. This is an area that often creates a lot of reaction. A lot of questioning of authority, and I think for some good reasons, but I think also for some very bad reasons. But I want to say this, I want to say it very scripturally. If you are doing something that your father or your pastor is really uncomfortable with, and you know it, if you're listening to this, that your pastor is not clear with you listening to, that should get your attention. Brothers and sisters, it should. I think we need to be thankful for godly parents and godly pastors. I think we're going to read just a little story here. I'm going to take a few minutes because it's a wonderful story to just increase our appreciation for godly parents. There were two young girls. There was Esther and there was Anna. And Esther would always choose the song, Praise Him for Your Parents Dear. And Anna got tired of it. Why do you always choose that song? And so this is the answer that Anna gave to Esther. That Esther gave to Anna. Anna, she whispered, I want to tell you something. Come to the basement with me. What is it? Anna asked excitedly, hoping to learn a secret from her friend. First, I want to tell you a story I heard a long time ago, Esther began, keeping Anna in suspense as long as possible. All right, hurry, Anna begged. My parents might want to leave soon. Esther spoke softly so that only her friend could hear. About 12 years ago, she began, there was a woman, Miss Ray, who worked for the welfare department in her hometown. One evening, she was walking down the street and noticed a very fashionably dressed young lady following her.
The lady carried a small bundle of pink blankets. Miss Ray went into the building where she worked. When she stepped out onto the street a few minutes later, it was almost dark. Anna fidgeted restlessly when Esther paused. "Then what?" she said. There on the doorstep lay the pink bundle. Esther's eyes sparkled. And guess what? She did not have to wait for Anna to put her surprise into words. Yes, she picked up the bundle and inside was a baby girl. She must have been about 4 weeks old. Nobody knew for sure. What did they do with her? Anna asked eagerly, forgetting Esther's promise to tell her something after the story. Well, the welfare department took care of the baby for several months. Nothing more was ever heard of her mother. Some Christian people had been asking God to send them a baby. The welfare department let them know that there was a six-month-old girl that they could adopt if they wanted her. How happy they were. They went quickly to see the baby. Soon the little girl was their very own. God had given them a child at last, and he had so very kindly given the little girl to a Christian home. Esther beamed as she finished her story. Was that the end? I asked. Now, what were you going to tell me? Esther smiled. Guess who the baby was. I never could guess, Anna replied almost impatiently. It was me, Esther said. Anna's mouth dropped open in surprise. You see, I could have been raised in a home that is not a Christian home. I could have lived all my life and never been taught the truth. I would probably never have learned to know and love my Savior. Esther talked excitedly, but God placed me in a Christian home so that I would have the chance. Oh, Esther, Anna said, what a beautiful story. You see, this is what I wanted to tell you. Don't you see now why I like to praise God for my Christian parents? God gave me a Christian home, and I want to praise him for it. Esther finished earnestly. Yes, Anna nodded very thoughtfully. I surely want to thank God more for my Christian parents. We really should, Esther agreed. I think little children should praise the Lord. And I think that will always be my favorite song. And I just read that for one reason, to just create in us a thankful heart. Youth, children here tonight, there are so many children, millions of children who have never been taught. They've never heard. I don't understand that. God is sovereign, but you are special. You have godly parents. And parents, you have a responsibility in your hands of God to cut, to train, to teach, train up a child in the way he should go, but don't cut too deep. But if you don't cut, you won't get the job done. I say the same to pastors. There are so many people that have pastors. It's such a scriptural disaster. So many pastors that lead the flock astray. That was Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. I know after my departing, the grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock. And many lead many away. Brothers and sisters, that's why we don't want to separate any of this from number one. Get in the Word of God. The Word will cut. The Word will never cut too deep. But it will cut. And it will cut deep enough. Our desire tonight, oh God, if you don't understand this principle, then I understand that you don't understand. It's a hard one to comprehend. But by faith, in the operation of God, let's cry out to God for understanding to know how to make this happen. Parents, go home and build a relationship with your children. Children, yield yourself. Youth, yield yourself to build a relationship with your parents.
It's God's will. I know it is. I know that it is. I don't stand here having all this figured out, but I believe this is scriptural. I believe this is what the scriptures teach. May God give us grace. Let's pray. Father, oh God, faith in the operation of God. Father, just like we would yield ourselves to an operation in the flesh and trust the doctor, even greater than that, we yield ourselves to the Word of God for you to cut away. Would you cut out any wrong music? Would you cut away wrong entertainment? Would you cut away pride from our hearts? Would you cut away any immodesty or lust of the flesh or youthful lusts which war against the soul? Oh God, there is war. There is war within us when the flesh is alive. Give us grace that we could understand the scriptures, that we could understand faith in the operation of God and yield ourselves to it. We pray, Father, that the end result of all of this would make us more like Jesus. That's our desire. That's our heart's cry. That's our heart's cry for our children and our grandchildren. And that's the influence that we desire to lend in the kingdom of God, Father, to be more like Jesus. Give us that grace. Give us that desire. Give us that cry. Give us that prayer for strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It just seems like we should sing a song. Let's sing 371 again. We sang it Monday night, but let's sing it again. Brother Mac.
Have I known?